A CT-2K sport aircraft is doing a small general aviation flight in the UK, but the landing goes wrong. What caused the small aircraft to bounce and ultimately crash?
Welcome back to the Hard Landings Podcast, everybody. I'm Nick.
I'm Miranda.
And I'm Christy.
Oh, hey.
Hello.
So after the last two episodes, which were insanely long.
I think both of them are going to end up being over 2 hours.
Oh, easily. Both of them are. Absolutely.
So the second half of the second episode was over two hours.
Yeah. When we recorded it. Yeah. So all that said, I do think they were really good episodes. Yeah. They were very important episodes, and that shows.
They're very timely.
They are very timely, what with everything still going on. That said, it's St. Patrick's Day when we're recording this. Happy St. Patrick's Day. We're finally getting caught up after the whole Tokyo debacle.
Yeah.
And now we're recording on time, but this episode, and this has more to do with the subject matter, happens to be quite short. It just will be. There's some things we'll talk about that
hopefully you don't regret that
stuff. I know. Knock on wood. I won't, though.
I mean, compared really to is, over 2 hours,
there is no way this is going to be anywhere near as long as the last two. My notes are very short. Your notes are very short. We have some new things to talk about that we've not really talked about before. However, this is vastly different than what we normally talk about. So it will be still short because the subject matter just isn't a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
But that said, let's do the housekeeping stuff.
Okay. Well, we got some patrons to thank.
Yes, we do.
Christy's going to look those up real quick. You should check out the Patreon just to, you know.
Check it out.
What stuff is
chickity
on there.
Check it out.
Chickity check it.
Who is the last person we thanked?
I don't know. We've had a lot of new ones since That's
a good question. There's a few people that came back. Brian was one of them.
Yes. Welcome back.
Welcome back, Brian.
Welcome to Aldo, in case we haven't already said that.
Yes.
That makes sense. Welcome to Aldo and a lot of free patrons. I'm going to glance over all of you because there's like 20 of you. Welcome.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
We appreciate that you're showing some kind of support.
Yes.
And thank you to Morgan.
Thanks.
Thanks, Morgan.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 14 new 14. Free members.
Okay. It's pretty
good. Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm sure if we missed you, let us know. But I don't think so. I think someone else came back, but I'm going to tell you, I don't remember.
Yeah.
I can look at the email real quick.
It's okay.
But that happens sometimes with Patreon is like, it'll be like, oh, so-and-so joined. And I was like, no, they didn't. They were here before. And my phone's now acting up. Hold on.
What the hell?
Okay. So maybe not.
That's fine.
My phone's now freezing too. So anyway, make sure you check out the merch page too. Got tons of stuff on there.
All you new patrons, you have a discount code. You should use it.
You do. Use it.
That's if I put you in the system yet. if for whatever reason you try your discount code and it doesn't work.
Yell at Miranda.
Yes. Just email us and be like, hey, I tried to use my discount code and the discount code didn't work. And I'll be like, oh, that's because I didn't add you yet. Sorry. Give me like 20 minutes and then I'll add you and then it should work. So I will try to make sure this week that I get everyone in the system, that I get caught up. But if for whatever reason that doesn't happen, just let me know if you try to use your discount code and it doesn't work.
We're sorry.
We're sorry. Anyway, I think that's all for new stuff, right?
I think so.
Wait a second.
We're going to do trivia question answers in this episode.
We are. Since this one is short and we're technically behind on it, but that we did that on purpose. It's very purposeful.
This should be the first episode coming out in April.
Yes.
So now that you're listening to this, when it comes out, Nick and I are married now.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, as of this episode, we are married now. That is a thing.
Keep in mind, this is 2 weeks before their wedding.
Yes.
A little bit less than that now.
Yeah, it's under 2 weeks to the wedding when we're recording this. However, we will be married by the time you hear this.
So send some congratulations or something.
Yeah, thanks. Or something. We appreciate it in advance.
We got married on the 29th. I'm sure it was wonderful, beautiful, and nothing went wrong.
I'm sure.
Don't jinx it, please. Please.
Knock on wood.
Okay, so what are we covering today, Nick?
Today, we are covering Golf-Charlie-Bravo-Delta-Juliet.
Thank you to Annie for recommending this.
Yes, thanks, Annie. I have a feeling, and I didn't look at this, and I was actually going to, but I think this one was recommended probably because this was a hometown accident. Maybe. I guess.
Mayhaps.
Mayhaps. It's probably in our email somewhere. Once upon a time. You can just search that tail number, I'm sure, in our...
Can you read off the tail number again?
G-Charlie-Bravo-Delta-Juliet.
The crash in question happened in my home county.
See? I knew it.
There we go.
So there you go.
If you decide to cover it, feel free to hit me up for pronunciations. Man, we were just talking about that.
We probably should have. That's okay.
Sorry. You have to realize, guys, I'm usually the one that puts everything in, but they're the ones that do all the research. They didn't see that email, and I also forgot about it.
I'm sure I saw it once upon a time.
Nick looked at words and was like, how do you pronounce that? I'm like, do I look British to you?
Sorry.
So we're just going to do our best here.
Don't come for us. We know it's probably wrong.
We're covering this one, and I do actually appreciate that we kept this one on the schedule. It does not have all of the normal things, but it does have a report.
But it's a good subject.
It is a good subject to talk about. However, this is not a commercial crash, which is why we're talking about a tail number. This is a VFR flight. This is a general aviation VFR flight, which we have talked about in the past. That means visual flight rules. So when we're talking about this flight, understand that this is a single pilot, little airplane with one person on board. That's it. And
he doing his best.
Right. Visual flight rules, meaning he has his private pilot's license, but he's just flying for fun, mostly. I mean, it's not that you can't be flying to, like, go visit somebody or something like that, but it is truly essentially for fun. You're flying point to point for fun or just around your little airport for fun, sightseeing, whatever. This accident occurred on March 14th of 2022, which was, if we had recorded this one a week ago.
2 days ago.
2 days ago, actually, yes. We would have been recording it on the two-year anniversary. This aircraft type is very strange.
It's not one I've heard of before.
And this is another good thing we can talk about real quick, but this is a Flight Design CT-2K, which is a light sport aircraft.
A microlight.
Yes, a microlight. Sorry. This is a microlight, which means it does have a single engine piston engine on board. However, it is a very small airplane. Very small. I believe it had two seats on it. And I would say you probably can't fly this with anybody in that second seat most of the time.
Okay.
These types of aircraft are meant for light sport pilots, which you can get a light sport license.
We talked about that.
Yes.
When we covered the baseball players.
Yes, we did.
Yep.
That crashed. The third one that we covered, He had a sport license.
Correct. You can get a light sport license in like the UK and in the US with minimal hours, very basic requirements. It's a lowered requirement type rating so that you can just literally go up and fly for fun. Little, very light aircraft just for fun. However, this pilot has a private pilot's license, so went basically the full level up to the full thing. It's like going for the light version versus the full version.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
And you pay the money accordingly.
And you do. You absolutely do. However, he did so mostly for fun. So again, there's one pilot on board, and I don't have a name. It's the only person on board. It's an 87-year-old male.
Ooh, old.
We'll talk
about
that later.
You should remember that detail.
He had 2,677 hours total, of which actually 1,621 were on this aircraft type. So he...
Not just the type, on that aircraft.
On this exact airplane. Wow. He was part of a flying club in the UK that had this airplane, and he was flying it a lot.
Regularly.
Very regularly, which I don't blame him. I mean, it's a fun way to kind of just putz around.
We were talking about it, and I'm like, I don't think Nick's dad even has that many hours, period.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't have over 2,000 hours?
No, not at all. I don't even think he has over 1,000 hours. I'm not sure. I don't know where he sits right now.
So
I have to ask him.
This guy has more hours on a single aircraft than Nick's dad has, period. Yeah.
And you'll find that actually in general aviation, that is far less common to have that many hours. In general aviation, it's not impossible, not at all, but not by any means. But it is far less common, especially depending on the part of the world, because general aviation is expensive, less accessible. And also when you're flying in general aviation, you're not going to accrue hours anywhere near as quick.
Yeah, because you're not doing it as a profession.
Yeah, and if you're not flying every day, 6 to 8 hours a day, you're not going to be making a lot of hours very quickly. So it's general aviation is lower hour pilots. It takes a lot longer to accrue hours. However, he had quite a bit of hours, so he'd probably been flying quite a bit over the years. This was a VFR, Visual Flight Rules, flight from Temple Brewer Airstrip in Lincolnshire to, and here's the hard one, Beckles?
Oh, God. Maybe I should look.
Aerodrome in Suffolk. Mm. All in the UK.
I'm not the first person to look this up.
I'm sure not. If it's a UK name, I'm sure not.
Beckles.
Beckles. There we go. The pilot had made this flight between these two airstrips two previous times. So this was not, he was not new to this per se. VFR route, again, just two little airports. It's mm-hmm. nothing, this isn't anything spectacular we're talking about. I mean, it's very normal in general aviation to just fly from one little airport to another little airport. And sometimes if you like that airport, you go a couple of times and just check it out.
Yeah, it's like Brendan likes to fly to Pueblo.
Yeah.
Because they have like really good snacks.
Yeah, they have good snacks down there. And there's a museum.
Yeah.
And they're very friendly down there. It's an easy flight. Like, you have to pass by Colorado Springs. The view is nice.
I can think of an airline that doesn't like to fly to Pueblo anymore.
Yeah. Thanks. It's more like a person. Anyways. The weather was clear for this flight. The pilot took off at 12:46 p.m. local time, midday, and climbed out in a southeasterly heading. 3 minutes after takeoff, the pilot called the air traffic controller at the airport, reporting, quote, or a, quote, slight problem.
A slight problem, huh?
End quote. And indicated that he intended to return to Temple Brewer. 1 minute later, he called the air traffic controller back and said that the problem had been resolved and he was continuing to Beckles.
Okay.
Whatever it was,
he don't figured know. It out.
Guess we're just going on. The pilot then continued on a southeasterly course at varying altitudes up to 3,500 feet on a VFR flight, especially if you don't have a flight plan, which I'm not sure he did. It never said that he filed one. You don't have to.
Not then, for general aviation.
No, not in VFR. So he's just flying. As long as you avoid airspace, or at least you're talking to air traffic control if you're going to fly through it, then it doesn't matter. So this little flight that he was doing, he could fly at varying altitudes as long as he wasn't breaching any airspace or...
Don't violate my airspace.
Yeah, anything like that. Then he's allowed to do that. 1:50 p.m. local time, the pilot contacted the air traffic controller at Beckles to request airfield details. The air traffic controller responded that runway 09 was in use, and winds were from the east at less than 5 knots, so it was a very calm day. The pilot set up to join the downwind, then entered the final approach to runway 09, reporting being in these positions to the air traffic controller, who was just a radio operator, by the way. So he had information about the airfield, like the weather information and what runway they were using, mostly for just to make sure that people were on a continuous, like... traffic stream, a normal traffic stream, mm-hmm. so people aren't coming at each other. So but beyond that, this person doesn't have radar, they're not actually directing aircraft to do anything, they aren't clearing them to do anything.
So it's kind of like when we were at Kiway during the fly-in, and they would give, like, wind details.
Yes, but beyond that, it's not, they're not
giving
any clearance. It's not like an air traffic controller at a
major
airport.
No. They were noted to be a radio operator.
Period.
That's it. This radio operator then gave the pilot an updated wind direction and speed, as the pilot was on final. Eyewitnesses watched the aircraft as it approached the runway. They stated seeing the airplane being unstable in roll and pitch. So the airplane seemed to be just rolling back and forth and pitching up and down.
Ooh.
Then seemingly stabilized just as it crossed the threshold. So it seemed to just kind of all of a sudden become stable for landing. Okay. The aircraft touched down on its main gear first, about 50 meters down the runway from the threshold, which is fine. The aircraft was then observed to bounce 10 feet up into the air. This time the aircraft came back down, touching with the nose gear first, rather than the main gear, which on a little tricycle gear airplane like this is not good. Not good at all. The aircraft bounced again, this time after that bounce. It pitched up very high. Some witnesses saying it was about 45 degrees nose up, which is a lot. This time, as the airplane reached about 100 feet above the runway, the witnesses then described the aircraft veering heavily to the left, rolling to approximately 90 degrees left wing down. So all of a sudden, it's left wing down and veering heavily, only 100 feet up. The nose then dropped again, causing the aircraft to drop quickly to the ground. The aircraft crashed into a field adjacent to the runway. The Aerodrome Rescue and Firefighting Service vehicle arrived at the crash very quickly and found the pilot in the left seat with the safety harness in place and breathing, but he was unresponsive. Mm. The rescuers with that vehicle that had arrived realized that they could not do much to assist this pilot with the state of the aircraft, so they called for further assistance, then monitored the aircraft for signs of fire, and tried to assure the pilot, who was still unresponsive. You know, they're trying to help. but there's not much they can actually do with their qualifications, unfortunately. So they called for local, of course, paramedics and fire to show up. An ambulance arrived at 2:04 p.m. local time, which was only a few minutes later, followed by fire services at 2:12 p.m. local time, a helicopter emergency medical service, which is a HEMS or a HEMS, H-E-M-S, arrived at 2:20 p.m. local time. The HEMS doctor went to the pilot and determined that he had succumbed to his injuries and had perished at the scene.
Aww.
They couldn't get him out in time.
Poor guy.
The aircraft had crashed 100 meters to the north of the runway, 240 meters from the threshold. Both wings had detached on impact, and the aircraft was equipped with a ballistic parachute system that was unused. This is similar to a Cirrus we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. The fuselage was on its right side, and the nose was smashed. So it definitely smashed in on the nose and then rested on the right side of the fuselage. Wreckage examination quickly showed that the aircraft had impacted with the left wingtip first. So it had hit, because they were in a left, he was in a left dive.
Yeah.
And he hit the left wingtip first, then smashed with the nose, and it tore the wings off as the fuselage rolled to the right.
Oh, yikes.
To a stop. Unfortunately, GA accidents are still relatively common and fatal. I will say that. So
I'm actually surprised he was responsive or alive. Right.
Yes, that he was breathing when they found him. Agreed, but general aviation accidents aren't super high-speed accidents usually, but this one happened pretty quick. So there's not a whole lot else to talk about right this second. I'll let you get to your part, but I did want to say, like, obviously we're covering something general aviation, and I know we don't normally do that, but this was a recommended one based on somebody's hometown, but also this does give us something new to cover.
This investigation was performed by the AAIB in the UK, and there were no recording devices on the accident aircraft like a black box, but it was equipped with a pilot-aware Rosetta device, which is a popular European electronic conspicuity, or EC, device. It receives and transmits ADS-B data as well as other forms of data that can be received by an aircraft also equipped with a pilot-aware device or by the pilot-aware grid network, at least from what I understand on the pilot-aware website. The multifunctional display in the aircraft's cockpit also started recording engine RPM, altitude, and airspeed once it was turned on. Investigators used that data as well as the recordings with the radio operator.
Yeah, the radio operator.
Investigators were unable to determine what exactly the pilot meant by slight problem.
There was no indication anywhere of what could have happened. And you have to remember, of course, this is a small airplane. So like we said, no black boxes or anything.
No, but one of his family members told investigators that he had used that phrase before in reference to the navigation application he used on his tablet.
Right.
But again,
which is more than likely for flight, for those of you that wonder.
Yeah, but I wouldn't think
that or Garmin pilot.
I don't know. I wouldn't think that would be the reason he would want to turn around completely. But
I mean, the only reason that I could think of that is, I mean, typically VFR pilots and private pilots, they aren't used to the workload and they don't have anybody to offset that workload either.
Correct.
So if all of a sudden you're trying to figure out your navigation system, like it wiped everything and, you know, it's not updated properly or it's giving you some kind of error, it's not connected, whatever, and you're having to fiddle with that, then you're not able to fly the airplane as effectively.
Right.
And so I can understand wanting to do the right thing and say, okay, I should land,
yeah.
Figure out my bearings and my navigation and set everything up properly before I leave again.
Right.
So I'm not doing this on the go. Don't know if that's the case here. We can't confirm that.
As Nick had stated, witnesses reported that part of the approach seemed unstable in roll and pitch before settling into a more stable approach profile. But investigators couldn't find the cause of this either because there was no local turbulence reported, which also makes the bounce kind of confusing.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of reason seemingly for that, for the unstabilized portions of this. It just seemed to be pilot error. We'll put it that way.
Witnesses of the crash stated that after the second touchdown on the nose wheel, the aircraft tried to climb away with a nose up attitude being described as up to 45 degrees, but no one could remember hearing the engine spool up, which likely led to a stall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This aircraft, however, did not have any kind of stall warning feature installed.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't think so.
And don't come for us. Spool up. I know it's not really the right term. It's RPM increase because this is piston.
Whatever.
It's piston. It's not turbine. Turbine spool, pistons, RPM increase.
Whatever.
Give me a break.
It's fine.
No one heard the engine increase.
I know. But I can already picture Kevin coming for us in an email.
Listen,
Leave me alone.
Listen here, Kevin. Chill your boots. Chill.
Anyways.
Other pilots of the CT-2K reported that it can be tricky to land and they really need to be quote-unquote on their game if things didn't go as planned. This pilot was extremely well-versed in his aircraft, so investigators came to question whether or not some age-related deterioration in human performance was a factor in the accident.
I knew something like that was going to happen.
Yeah.
He was old. He was 87 years old.
So this is obviously something key to talk about. I did want to cover really quick, though, why some of the pilots say that this airplane is tricky to land. First of all, it isn't, because it's not a mass manufactured airplane, the aerodynamics can be a little bit different than we're used to with normal airplanes. Light sport aircraft, that's kind of common. However, this airplane in specific was a high wing, so that means the wing is mounted above the fuselage. And it's like a Cessna.
Cessna, yeah.
And then it has an engine in the front, just like a Cessna, a little tiny engine in the front. It's tricycle gear, so one wheel underneath the engine and then two main gear underneath the fuselage. Like we would picture a normal airplane, but that's not a tailwheel. However, it has a very thin fuselage all the way back to the tailplane. And then the tailplane is a little bit different than a Cessna. So the aerodynamics on this airplane are different than we might find with most private pilot aircraft, most, like, you know, Category 1 aircraft, anything like that. So these are, being light aircraft or what have you, very different flying characteristics, especially because the weight and balance can be very different too. I mean, one single person on board shifts the weight of that airplane a lot. I mean, you're talking about an airplane that weighs probably 1,000 pounds max. Probably not even. Probably in the 600 to 800 pound range. You could pick this airplane up.
Since this pilot was licensed according to UK's regulations, let's dive a bit into what is required medically to be able to fly there. Starting in October of 2016, pilots of GA aircraft less than 2,000 kilograms maximum takeoff weight were subject to the Driver and Vehicle Licensing Agency standard for Group 1 car ordinary licenses, driving licenses, as the medical standard.
If you can hold a driver's license there,
you can fly a plane.
Fly a plane.
That's scary.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm sorry, because there's people here in the U.S., I'm thinking like my grandmother, who really shouldn't have driver's licenses anymore. They can drive, quote unquote. Is it safe?
Right.
Since there was no requirement to consult a general practitioner or GP or an aeromedical examiner or AME to drive a car, neither did you have to pilot this specific range of GA aircraft.
Oh, well, that's not great. I don't like that. At all.
No.
The only additional requirement to comply with is not taking medication for psychiatric illness. That is a whole conversation on its own.
That's a whole can of worms we're not going to open.
But the point is, this pilot was in compliance. The DVLA has guidance to assist medical professionals in advising their patients if they need to declare a medical condition, which would apply to both driving and piloting. But medical professionals often were not aware if this declaration was to be applied against piloting as well as driving. All in all, there was no difference in medical fitness to drive a car or fly a small GA aircraft. Furthermore, the CAA does not revoke flying licenses for medical reasons and places the onus on the pilot themselves to cease flying if they have reason to believe they no longer meet the medical standards for a Group 1 driving license. There's no oversight over individuals who are continuing to fly, though they maybe shouldn't be. Studies and literature reviewed by the AAIB showed that there is no single reliable metric to predict age-related impairment in GA pilots, which makes sense. Some people that age are still smart as a whip and fast to react, while others most definitely aren't. There's no way to quantify that.
Right.
Guidance provided by the DVLA to medical professionals states, quote, professional judgment must determine what is acceptable decline and what is irreversible and or a hazardous deterioration in health that may affect driving, end quote. But these medical professionals are not consulted for driving licenses.
No.
So that's the whole analysis. I was telling Miranda earlier, I could summarize this whole thing in four words. He old, he crashed.
Pretty much. So.
Wow. Okay.
That's it.
We'll go into the second half. I mean, obviously, this is a very short first half. We'll go into the second half, and there's just a little bit more to discuss on this. Like I said, short episode. It really is. We kind of need it after last.
We really
last 2 weeks. Really so sorry do. We're providing you with a very short episode. But we
also,
really
did
need
we
it.
Mention we're getting married?
Yeah.
We have a lot on our plate
right now.
There's
a lot going on right now. We actually appreciate that this recommendation fit where it did because we need something short. But I do want to talk about this a little bit more in the second half. Okay. So I wanted to talk a little bit about this age thing because
this episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
I know that this, we're talking particularly about the UK and the driver's license thing. However, there is still a bit of a problem with this elsewhere in the world, and in particular in the US. We have what now what's called basic med, which does allow you to fly mostly without medical consultation, even with a private pilot's license. And this was to make it a little bit more accessible, as well as for those that really truly have no career goal in aviation, not have to follow the need and constant recurrency of a medical.
Yeah, but you still want people to be safe.
Agreed. So this is still something that comes up in discussions here too, because it's a matter of balancing the
aptitude
cost versus the
aptitude,
yes, but also the fitness of a pilot and the requirements and the safety. Yes, there's so many. It's such a balancing act, and I get it. So for those of you that don't know, in the U.S., there's class 3 to class 1, class 3 to 1. Class 3 being where you would be with a private pilot's, class 1 if you were aiming to be a truly career pilot or you're holding any kind of airline rating, you have to have class 1. Class 1 requires you to go through a medical reexamination very frequently, especially dependent upon age. There's a lot of depth on the requirements. Class 3 is pretty basic. It's a recurrent based on age as well. It changes the time between, but it is typically a lot further apart than a class 1. It also, there's certain things that class 1 you absolutely have to meet in order to be a commercial pilot. Class 3, there are things that you can go without. You don't have to get checked. You don't have to have perfect health, but class 3 is still important. Now with basic med, you don't even have to have a class 3 depending on what you're trying to do. It's still recommended, by the way, and I would still recommend you do it for your own safety, as well as anybody you fly with, should you choose to go that route. That said, there was an actor who, aging, not old, I will say not like super old yet, but aging, who had several accidents and made this also a discussion in the U.S. because after several accidents, people questioned his aptitude for flying, his capabilities, what with his age, which I understand. However, looking into the circumstances a little bit deeper, you have to understand that the accidents weren't necessarily because of aptitude. There were some circumstances. He was flying vintage aircraft, which is a different discussion, actually. The age of the aircraft and the maintenance of them can be a factor in the accident. So,
who are we talking about?
Why am I drawing a blank all of a sudden? He played Han Solo.
Oh.
Harrison Ford?
Harrison Ford, thank you. I was like, Harrison... thank you. Harrison Ford. Just putting that out there. If you need, go look it up. Still a pilot, by the way.
Didn't know he was a pilot.
Yep, owns lots of airplanes.
Have you not been to Wings Over the Rockies?
I've been multiple times.
Yeah, there's a whole thing about him being a pilot.
Where? By the X-Wing?
Yeah.
Oh, I clearly didn't read it or something.
It's okay.
Because you know where he flies a lot? Here.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. He
flies to and from here a lot. But yeah, he's a prominent, famous pilot, we'll say. An actor pilot. You know, he's a famous person who has a private pilot's license and an instrument rating.
So does what's
John Travolta.
Yeah, that guy.
He has an airline rating.
Ew.
He's ATP rated.
He is ATP rated. He actually is pictured in a lot of pictures flying actual jets.
Yeah, he flew several flights for Qantas.
Yeah, he did.
He got type rated by them.
Which is wild.
And then they gave him a 707 that
just
he owned.
Gave it to him.
Yeah, and then they tried to give him a 747. When they were trying to retire them.
Qantas, can you give me a 747?
He said no. He was like, I don't need that.
That's a lot of airplane.
That is way too much airplane for me. First of all, there's nowhere you can keep that privately anyways. And nobody's ever really like privately owned to fly one of those.
Why? Because why?
He, let alone the fact his 707, we're getting a little off track, but his 707, he had it at his house in Florida. There's amazing pictures of it parked at his house.
That's the most Florida man. I've ever heard.
In really Florida. Is. And it was a very famous thing for a while, but eventually he stopped flying it because he deemed it was just too much airplane to fly. He had smaller jets that he'd much rather fly.
That is a very responsible decision.
It actually was. And eventually there was a museum in Australia that he donated it to. And so there was a ferry flight across the world and they took it over to Australia. So now it lives again at a museum. That was one of the last times a 707 has ever flown.
Bro.
Which is cool.
Bro.
But at the same time. And that was just a couple of years ago.
That's just crazy to me.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy.
In another life.
In another life. But anyways, age is obviously a very important thing when we're talking about aviation. And it's very hard sometimes for pilots, especially people who decide to do piloting as a recreation in retirement, which there are a lot of, actually, especially in the U.S. There's a lot of people that end up getting their private pilot's license and maybe instrument rating just to do it for fun in retirement. And there's a lot of us out there that go, wow, that must be great to have money.
Yeah.
It must be great to have money and time, which I get. But there are a lot of people out there that do this. And it's not to poo-poo that at all. Obviously, if you have the capabilities, if you're in good health, you have the money and you want to do it for recreation, absolutely, sure. Great.
Or you could buy me an airplane instead.
But you should monitor your
health,
well-being, of course, through all of that. It is a more critical time in life to do that. And that's why at the airlines, in the U.S., the cutoff age is a hard 65 for airline pilots.
For airline pilots.
You can actually still get commercial jobs doing other things after 65 in the industry.
Well, because fun fact, and this actually is potentially going to change in the soon future, but the retirement age, the actual retirement age in the U.S. is 67.
Yes.
That might increase.
To 70.
To 70, which is terrifying.
Yes. But airlines have a hard stop at 65.
Well, and I could see why. I mean,
it's the mental capability.
It is.
And physical capability. And, yeah.
You get to that age, that hard cutoff, and I don't imagine that will move much. There is discussion in the industry to move it up a year or two so that it allows pilots to stay a little bit longer. That would add, remove some of the pilot shortage piece. However, don't expect that. Because 65 is there for a reason. It's determined to be a safe cutoff. All the way up until 65, the odds of something happening to you are very, very low. So the odds of you presenting a medical emergency or challenge with a flight are very, very low.
Yeah.
Beyond 65, it's not that that's going to be obviously an immediate problem, but they see it as you will be better not flying every day.
Right.
You can enjoy flying for something that's not a 121 or a 135 operator, but go do something else or retire. Truly, by that point, most pilots, like, that's a comfortable time to retire. They have usually the means, the monies, and the airlines provide them with really decent retirement packages. I have known a lot of retired pilots, actually, over the years in the GA world that my dad's worked with or flown with or, he's friends with. And a lot of them do, they just get little GA airplanes and fly for fun in retirement, just on a not regular basis. They go and fly maybe once a week, twice a week or something, and just go get lunch somewhere or just enjoy a nice day up in the sky, which I get. That's great. However, you do have to, of course, monitor your health. And it's presented in this accident specifically that not monitoring your health and aging can present a problem.
Did they determine that was officially what happened?
No. However, they're deeming that the unstabilized approach and everything related to it, because there seems to be no mechanical or aircraft related factor. There was no weather factor. There was no turbulence. There's nothing. The only thing they could determine was that the pilot's age likely affected. And that's not to be ageist. Not at all. However, There seems to be some problem. There's no other explanation, and this has to be basically where we land. And,
well, he didn't.
I know.
He tried.
But even the family was saying that, the aptitude was an important piece.
I mean, and he was 87 years old.
Although, that is old for a pilot.
That's old for anybody.
I've known pilots that old or older, but
although the analysis didn't directly reference any
medical problem?
Any testimony from the family? I imagine that had to have some kind of sway.
I have to imagine so. And it's still, I think they wanted to highlight it too, because more than anything, it did allow them to bring up a few recommendations, which I'll talk about in just a moment, related to that whole driver's license.
Yeah, that's allowance horrible. I don't like that. That's horrible. Get them checked out.
So
get people checked out.
Typically with the medical requirements, like, for example, the class 3 medical. Like I said, as you age, the more frequently you have to get checked. with any of the medical classes in the U.S., and it's the same pretty much everywhere in the world. As you age, those requirements to be checked by a medical professional increase. You have to do them far more frequently, and the requirements also become more strict. What you're being checked for becomes more strict because there are certain ailments that can happen to pilots and people as they age that you just don't have when you're younger. So it makes a lot of sense.
Well, like, you're more at risk for a heart attack as you get older.
Yeah. Right?
You're more at risk to have bodily injury.
Yep.
And certain illnesses.
Yep.
Than when you're younger, because you're old and your immune system is old, and so right. It doesn't fight off stuff as well as it used to.
It's that whole thing where it's like, okay, person over 100 years old dies and they put on the medical record died of, you know, embolism or heart attack or, you know, whatever. And it's like, no, they died of being over 100.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
They're old. They die of being old.
At that point, it doesn't matter. Like, they died of being over 100 years old. I mean, 87 is nothing to scoff at. That's quite a long life. Don't get me wrong. And good for them for still being a pilot. Good for this guy for being a pilot. I'm impressed at 87 years old. And it seemed that he really was pretty apt at that age. He was flying frequently in the airplane and doing well. However, one incident is all it took.
Yep.
And that is unfortunate. So I'm going to read the conclusion section and then I'll talk about the four findings the four recommendations they put out there. They spread them out throughout this 18-page report, but we'll just go through this pretty quick. Conclusion's pretty quick. I'm just going to read this verbatim. The aircraft bounced on landing and probably stalled. The pilot was fatally injured when the aircraft subsequently struck the ground. The accident pilot was familiar with his aircraft and in recent practice, but the landing diverged from his intended plan. Although the postmortem found no indication of medical impairment or incapacitation, the pilot was 87 years old and had, prior to the flight, recognized that he would likely have to stop flying in the near future. It is possible that some age-related deterioration in human performance was a factor in this accident. The investigation highlighted a lack of medical guidance for both pilots and medical professionals who use the pilot medical declaration, which is based on the DVLA medical standard of Group 1 driving licenses. It also identified that pilots that have a UK PPL with a microlight rating issued prior to the 1st of February 2008 are not required to fly with an instructor for license revalidation. Such a flight would provide an opportunity for independent assessment of age-related deterioration in pilot ability. Four safety recommendations have been made to the CEA. Three about the
CAA?
Yeah, CAA, sorry. CAA. Three about the pilot medical declaration, and one about the revalidation of ratings for holders of licenses with microlight ratings issued prior to the 1st of February 2008. So that's the whole conclusion section. Now let's talk about these recommendations. So they really highlighted well what they're talking about. But the whole of the problem, of course, being age-related, is the fact that not only was he not getting checked, he recognized the fact that he was probably going to have to stop flying soon due to his age. And that is a hard thing to determine if you're not being checked regularly for medical purposes and if you're not being checked by a flight instructor.
Right.
In the U.S., actually, we typically have a requirement where in order to stay current, first of all, there are certain things you have to do to stay current.
Yep.
However, there are still some ways you can kind of get away without having to fly with an instructor. But currency, you typically do. Even at the private pilot's level, you have to be checked by an instructor, which is usually just one flight, 1 hour. It does not take very long. You go up with an instructor for an hour. They just make sure you're still competent. And
basic stuffy
stuff. All the basic stuff. And that is a good opportunity as well for an instructor to note whether or not your health may be affecting your flying, especially when you're not getting any kind of medical check.
I'm pretty sure Brendan has to do
a currency flight
because he hasn't flown.
He hasn't flown in a while. He would have to do a currency with an instructor. Most flight schools actually, in this case, he was in a part of a flight club, which is a little different.
Yeah.
Flight clubs don't necessarily have instructors. They can, but they don't all the time.
That's Aspen.
They're a flying club and school. Kind of a different thing. But the whole thing is this flying group that he was part of, flying club group that he was part of, is more like they provide the airplanes. You pay your way and fly them.
Yeah.
That's about it, right? If you need an instructor, you can usually find them outside of the club or inside the club. There's probably instructors in the club, but you don't have to. That's how a lot of those work. So in this case, he's flying this airplane a lot. Without an instructor, he doesn't get the chance to be checked. But at most flying schools and flying clubs around the world, typically they have a requirement for recurrency with an instructor. So if you're going to fly at a school here, like where Brendan flies, mm-hmm. he's going to get checked by an instructor if he hasn't flown over a certain amount of time before they allow him to fly one of their airplanes.
Right.
That's part of the requirements.
That's like a good yep. insurance policy,
even,
right?
Right. That is part of the insurance policies for most of these flight schools, is even if you have a private pilot's license and you've flown with another school, even if you just got your private pilot's license, you're checked out. If you decide to go fly at another school, that school is probably going to send you up with an instructor to get checked out before you can fly their airplanes. As part of their own insurance to say, how well did that school teach you? And how competent are you actually? Anyways, these recommendations. It is recommended that the UK Civil Aviation Authority provides comprehensive guidance for pilots on the medical factors that must be considered when making an online pilot medical declaration. So how strict should they actually be when filling out their online pilot medical declaration? What are the things that they should be asking of the pilots to make sure that they're capturing competency?
What are conditions that you need to report?
Right. Yep.
Do I need to report that I have ADHD?
Right. Do I need to report that I'm 87 years old and forgetting things, maybe?
Maybe.
It is recommended that the UK Civil Aviation Authority provides guidance for medical professionals to promote awareness of the medical standards required by the Pilot Medical Declaration Scheme. So putting guidance out there to pilots about their medical situation. It is recommended that the UK Civil Aviation Authority engages with the UK Driver and Vehicle Licensing Agency to understand their process for managing medical-related driving license decisions and ensure that the UK Civil Aviation Authority's process for managing the pilot medical declaration scheme is as effective, which is saying that really they should work with the department that issues driver's licenses.
The DMV, essentially.
Essentially.
They call it the DVLA.
Yes, the DVLA. And make sure that they are actually doing some kind of medical check. And how strict is that? Work with the Civil Aviation Authority to make it as similar as possible, basically, and efficient and effective as possible.
A point that the report made that I didn't write down. Mm-hmm. They don't require that you have a driver's license or a driving license.
Yeah.
To fly aircraft.
Yeah.
You just have to be capable of having one.
Right. You have to be qualified to have one.
You don't actually need one.
Right.
So you don't need...
I feel like...
if you're flying an aircraft...
If you can't drive a car...
Don't
fly an aircraft.
Yeah.
I mean, a car...
Let's just add a whole third dimension.
Yeah.
But if you're flying from a little airport at a flying club, you're probably driving yourself to said place.
Uh-huh.
I would hope so.
If you're having somebody else drive you there because you don't think you're capable of driving, please don't get in the airplane.
Please
don't get in the airplane.
Please choose another hobby.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go fly RC airplanes.
Choose another hobby.
I know.
Did
it's
you
not
know
the same.
That there are RC runways just scattered throughout everywhere?
They're everywhere. They are.
We
everywhere.
Have one fairly close to us, actually.
Oh, yeah, we have one like close. Across the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, practically.
If you are a Colorado local individual, there is an RC helicopter or RC aircraft runway
in most state parks, actually.
Oh. Well, there's one in Cherry Creek State Park, which...
There's one in Chatfield State Park. And then there's one really close to DIA. You know where we always go and spot?
Yeah.
If we went a mile and a half down the road further, there's one on the left side of the...
Wait, which spotting place?
On the north side.
Okay.
Favorite one.
I thought you meant the south side.
No, on the north side.
It makes more sense on the north side.
Our favorite spotting spot on the north side.
I don't know. You can get pretty close spotting now on the south side because you have your access.
Yeah, but I mean like when we would always go spot. It's on the north side. So... From there, literally a mile and a half down that road.
We should plan a spotting day for the podcast.
Yes, we can do that. Yes. Anyways, I have one more of these to read.
All you locals out there, yes. Want to go see airplanes at DIA.
Or Centennial, or both.
Por qué no los dos.
Okay. Anyways, it is recommended that the UK Civil Aviation Authority assesses the continued appropriateness for holders of UK PPLs with microlight class ratings issued before the 1st of February 2008 to revalidate that rating solely by providing evidence of experience. So they're saying, rather than just doing that, evidence that you are experienced. In other words, that you're regularly logging flights, because this pilot was. He was doing that. However, he hadn't been checked by an instructor in years. Many years.
Which is a problem.
Yes, it is.
That needs a solution.
Correct. So they're saying that they really should reevaluate that and think about the fact that they should be checking pilots with an instructor regularly because it can be another line of defense.
It can be the difference between someone losing their life.
Right. And there's a lot of things like this in general aviation in the U.S. too that they've been discussing and working on, especially because general aviation is so much more prominent here than most places in the world. And general aviation accidents, therefore, are very high still. Alarmingly so.
If you ever want to know how alarmingly so, there is a Facebook page that we have talked about before.
He has promoted us once upon a time, and we still very much get along. Sometime, eventually, this wonderful human being will be part of this podcast. However, we don't know when that will be. I can't give you any estimate.
His page is called Aviation Accidents This Day in History. Go look at that page, because every time something happens,
he posts about it.
He knows about it.
I don't know the weirdest things. I don't know how he gets some of his information.
Oh my God, it's fantastic. Everybody tells him everything. He also just finds out through different means. There's different websites and stuff you can learn about these things. But he posts pictures. He posts the stories.
Videos, if they exist.
Eventually, he posts the final reports and things, too, as they come out. So you can hear about them down the line, what happened and what they determined and everything like that. But there are some weird things that happen in aviation, too, that he talks about that won't get reports. It is fascinating.
There have been things that he's reported on that I then pulled to the podcast. Like that one FedEx flight where the guy was inhaling, like there was carbon dioxide in the cockpit. Yeah. That
passed
FedEx,
out.
That FedEx 208.
Yeah, before he took off.
Yeah.
Passed out.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Like that one I found on this page. So go follow that page.
Yep. So there you go. General aviation is still, it's not unsafe. I'm not going to say it's unsafe. There's still a lot of factors in place to make it safer. However,
it is not as safe as Part 121.
Not at all. I mean, commercial aviation is
there's
basically.
There's so many safeties in place
for
121 and even 135.
If you're in any kind of commercial operation, it is going to be significantly safer than just general aviation as a whole. General aviation has still a prominent problem with accidents, and it's a bit more like the Wild West of flying. And I shouldn't say that because there's a lot of regulation around it, and I get that that can be frustrating and limiting. However, we still have to balance that safety factor.
Safety first.
With the capabilities. That is a very hard thing to do when it's becomes financially infeasible for most people. You have to find that balance. So the industry needs pilots. It's also important that, you know, there's the freedom to fly, but also we need to figure out how to do it safely. So this was a good one to talk about these things. A good episode to talk about these things.
We need to answer some trivia questions.
It's time for us to do some trivia questions.
Trivia questions! Okay, I'm going to look up one of the emails. There were several of you that answered.
Answered.
Yes.
Answered.
Trivia questions this past
Dear, do you want to pull up some
month?
Other ones?
I have to do that on a different device.
Okay, I have
the March newsletter.
Bob's answers.
Okay.
Pull up. You've got Bob, then I've got...
Maybe not, because that was a correction that I needed to make that I didn't make. Sorry, Bob. I have Alisa.
Okay, then I'll pull up Aliska.
What episode did we cover the Concorde in?
The correct answer is episode 19.
Yes.
Which a lot of people got. I think I bring it up a lot.
yeah, you do. Because you quite like that. I know, the Concorde.
Weird, right?
Yeah.
Like it's my favorite airplane or something.
Aliska got that, right?
So did Alisa. Alisa? Yep. Is that your name? Help. Okay.
Anyways.
Did Bob get it right?
I don't know. I'm Bob answered it later.
Bobbert.
Leo did not get that right. Said 49.
Oh, his is right above. Hold on.
Yes.
Yes.
Bob said
he got it right.
Episode 19, largely blamed on A, poor design of the Concorde's wing fuel tanks, but also B, shoddy maintenance on a Continental DC-10. Friggin' DC-10s causing havoc in the aviation industry since 1971.
Leo said, I forgot. I think episode 49.
Nope.
I'm doing this from memory and not cheating. Yeah. Good for you.
Hey, good
Thank
for you.
Thank you for that.
Okay.
That's funny.
What is the name of the fear of flying?
The correct answer is aerophobia.
Or aviophobia. Both are correct. Bob says, get me the hell off this goddamn death tube phobia.
I appreciate your answer.
Or possibly aerophobia. Or aviophobia. So many definitions, so little desire to get on a perfectly good airplane. he said a lot after that.
Yes, he did. He wrote a small dissertation. Appreciated.
I'd call it a novella.
A novella. Okay.
Novella.
Yeah, no, Leo's the one that gives us the dissertations, which I don't think he did when he answered them this time.
No, this time they were relatively short.
What did other people say?
Alisa said aerophobia.
Leo said, I don't know, probably Boeing phobia at this point.
The amount of Boeing jokes we've made in the past 2.5 weeks. Yikes. Actually, it was longer than that because I just listened to UAE
521.
And we made another joke in there, too.
Oh, so. Well, yep. We're good at this.
Oh, if they didn't make it so easy.
I know. Alyssa got it right with aerophobia/aviophobia.
Good job. How many major domestic airlines currently fly in the U.S.?
Okay.
Listen.
This is a point of contention. You can fight Nick because he's the one who
Yes, you can. Anyways.
Okay. So
according to Nicholas, the correct answer is...
I don't even remember anymore, it's more than you think.
It's on... We put it on the trivia worksheet.
One, it's more than you think, but it is not as many as Alyssa thinks.
It's... Alyssa said 18, which is close. I don't think it's the right answer, but it's close.
Alyssa said 399.
No.
No.
Bob said, more than you'd imagine, including some quote-unquote major airlines I've never heard of, but I think it's 18. Our answer that we put in our official document was 12. If you wish to argue, take it up with Nick.
There you go. Take it up with Nick.
Yep.
You find the extra 6 airlines we didn't name.
I could name other ones that are charter, but sizable aircraft charter operators, like National Airlines. You've got Omni Air. You had Miami for a little while, Miami International. But
Atlas?
There's National Pacific. There's Atlas. Absolutely, I would count Atlas. Okay. There's more. There's more I can't even think of right now. But there's more. There's plenty more of them.
Good Lord.
What do you count as the official ones? So there's the big three.
Yes, of course, the big three.
Plus Frontier, Southwest, Spirit.
Yep.
Sun Country.
Yep.
JetBlue.
Yep.
JetBlue.
Did you get Alaska?
Alaska. Hawaiian.
Yep.
That's 10.
Avelo. Breeze.
That's 12. Okay, I was like, are you about to say that you're wrong?
No. Did you say Allegiant?
No.
You're so funny.
Just 10.
So let's just say the number's ambiguous.
It is a little ambiguous, but I would say 18 is actually probably about where I would land as well. So I think the people are saying 18 is good.
Might want to fix that then.
13, apparently, according to Nick, after the fact.
Everyone fight Nick.
Go fight Nick.
It's fine. Anyways.
Last one.
What was JFK Airport originally called? If you did not get this correct, I have little faith
in you.
Listen,
people.
This is rookie answers.
The answer is Idlewild. Alyssa got it right.
Leo said, I know this one, Idlewild.
Bob says, anyone who's seen Goodfellas could tell you, Idlewild, which is a pretty cool name for an airport, to be fair.
Yes. Alyssa also got it right with Idlewild. Leo also said, anyway, I'll limit my suggestions to 2 a month starting in April.
Thank you.
Cold turkey in March.
I haven't put any of anything in yet. This week, I'm going to have a lot of work to do. To be fair, a lot of stuff that's being, I know for a fact, a lot of stuff that's being recommended is already on our list.
Yeah, we're starting to get to the point where actually we have so many recommendations on the list, or we've already covered it, and people are recommending those.
Yeah.
And so
it's not as much of adding, although some people are sending some weird stuff.
Yeah, there are some new ones out there.
That I was like, okay.
Yep.
Sure. Why not?
Sure.
So if you haven't received an email or a message from me yet, if you put in a... suggestion, just know
it is coming. Yeah.
By the time you hear this, it should have been done. And if it didn't, you did it after I did it, and I'm sorry. And you're gonna have to wait till I have the energy to do it again or the time.
That's right.
All right.
That's all.
You should have a new newsletter relatively close to when this comes out.
Yes.
So you should answer the trivia questions to that one and see if you get those right.
See.
We put the answers on the page, the trivia page that we're taking it from, because Christy and Nick are using them for the wedding.
Yes.
Which, by the way, Paige has the ultimate advantage because Paige has access to that document.
Yes.
Yeah, but Paige usually doesn't answer.
No, but they could.
Because they don't cheat.
So yesterday, Paige came over with their husband, Corey.
Oh, okay.
And I was telling them that, you know, we're pulling trivia for the wedding from that document. And Corey's like, we should just print that out and have the answer sheet.
That's called cheating.
That is 100% cheating. But that's okay.
I know all the answers.
But that's okay.
Do you remember my ring size? Because that's on next month's.
Is that 7?
Nope.
Oh. Half. Is it 8?
I'm not telling you now.
Anyways.
It got bigger because your hands grew. I don't know. All right, people.
I'm fat. Anyway.
Aren't
not
we all?
Like me.
Yeah. Aren't we all? Anyway, thank you so much for listening.
Thanks.
Again, you should check out the post episode. That's going to be on our Patreon.
Yes.
You have to be a $5 patron to get post episode stuff.
Yes.
So If you would like to do so, please do so. If you don't, then don't.
Right.
But it's a blast.
It's great.
We have so much fun.
It is. It is such a random fest at these points.
Oh my
God,
it's so random.
Remember, but you can hear about our trips. We started it because we kept talking about the episode after the episode was over, about less related things. And then that's not at all what it is anymore.
Nope. Unless there's something we really need to talk about.
Unless there's something we're really like, man, that was crazy. Like, wow. Like, but that doesn't happen very often.
No.
We do talk about aviation-related things a lot, but we also talk about a lot of not-related aviation things.
They're interesting. You should go listen to them.
Is today going to be a therapy session? Never know.
You never
know. I don't
know.
We do have a short trip we can talk about.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And Miranda has
you
no
don't.
Idea what we're talking about.
You don't.
Anyway.
Okay.
Did you go somewhere without me?
Yeah.
Little Okay. Anyway.
Anyway.
Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. Remember,
thanks.
You can always share us with friends and family to get the word out there to help us grow still.
Honestly, the best support ever.
Yes,
it really is.
We really
is.
Do appreciate it.
And it's free.
Well, we
it is free.
Well, we peddle the Patreon so much. We actually, like, the thing that helps us the most is truly just supporting us in any way you can, that being listening a lot, sharing with everybody, smashing that subscribe button.
Oh my God, shut up.
Smash that like
I
button.
I hate you all. Yep.
Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. We hope you have a safe and healthy week, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Keep your speed up.
Please like and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Hard Landings Podcast and on Twitter at Hard Landings Pod.
Subscribe and leave a 5-star review on the platform you are using to listen.
If you would like to see photos and sources for this episode, please visit us at hardlandingspodcast.com, where you can also leave us feedback and ask questions.
This episode was researched and written by Nick and Christy and edited by the lovely Paige.
Our theme song was written by Miranda and performed by all three of us plus Leo.
And our logo is by Naomi.
Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.